The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Check. There we go. All right. Thanks, Rodney. All sorts of really funny things happen that I think Jesus is talking about in this reading when you're walking around with one of these collars on. A couple weeks ago, I was walking down the street. And I was on my way here to Shepherd of the Valley, and I was walking to church on Sunday morning, and a man at his house looked like he was kind of in maybe some rough trouble. I could see he was loading things into his car. He was, I don't know, somebody was in the house. They were yelling at him. He was kind of in a frantic hurry. He had tattoos up and down his arms and kind of tears running down his face. And as I walked past with my collar on, he said, "Hey, are you a priest?" I said, "No, I'm a Lutheran pastor." He says, "Okay, that'll do." And then he said, "Pastor, so can I get real with you?" I said, yeah, you can get real with me. And he said, "I need you to pray for me right now. I need you to pray for me. When you go to that church of yours, I need you to pray for me. Lift me up, Pastor. Lift me up in prayer." I said, "Well, is there anything else you want to tell me?" He said, "No, just lift me up in prayer. I need it." I said, "Okay." Contrast that with a story that I love from Chicago in my time. It was about this time of year. It was a Saturday morning, and it was the Saturday morning of St. Patrick's Day weekend, which, if you know in Chicago, that's kind of party weekend up on the north side around Wrigley Field. You know, they dye the river green, and it was about 10 in the morning, and I had to park far away from the church because it was party central and St. Paddy's Day weekend. And as I was walking to the church, I could see, a block ahead, there was a group of young guys, and they were standing around something, and as I got closer, I could see it was a keg, and it was about 9 in the morning, and they were sort of stumbling around, and as the closer I got, remember, I'm wearing a collar, and I'm wearing black, I'm about to go to a funeral, and those guys, they saw me walking, and they all straightened up like I was like an officer on the deck of a ship, and they got on the side of the sidewalk. They hid their cigarettes and Dixie cups behind their back. Father, 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 as I walked by. I think there's a way in which Jesus is saying people recognize the authority of this symbol that we put on our foreheads. And I love what that man said to me the other day. Can I get real with you, Pastor? And I think sometimes as people of faith, sometimes we put on symbols, whether you're a pastor or whether you're going to walk out of church tonight with a cross on your forehead. Sometimes we want to believe that these symbols mean something like holiness or purity or perfection. That somehow we should be able to use these symbols against other people. And then all they can say back to is, can I actually get real with you about something that's authentically happening in my life? Or are you going to be one of these people who I have to go like this around? Lift me up. I think Jesus is saying, if you're going to put a cross on your forehead, if you're going to engage in prayer, don't do it in a way that makes people have to closet who they are. Can I get real with you tonight? You are dust. And to dust you shall return. It doesn't get any more real than that. But I think as people of faith, I think Ash Wednesday for us can be this night when we really come home to the truth of this reality. You are dust, to dust you shall return. And you know what? God loves the dust. God breathes life into dust. The dust awakens and it creates this stuff. And God says, yes, you, my creation, I love you. Now go in love. And there's a kind of authority that we get on Ash Wednesday that isn't the kind that makes young people hide their cigarettes in Dixie cups, like a holiness factor. It's a kind of authority that is rooted in God's love that we hear on a night like tonight. And we can do powerful things with this reality. So one more story. So I was, before I took this call to Shepherd of the Valley, I wanted to stay home with Elijah, so I didn't have a call. I was worshiping at a place called Lake Chelan Lutheran Church. And while we were there, the pastor of the church, Pastor Paul, got involved with a community group that was working with migrant populations there in eastern Washington State who were vulnerable because at that moment, ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, was doing something that this group really did not appreciate very much. What ICE was doing is somebody in the agency or somebody in the community was going through the public records of district court filings, right? District court in Washington State is where you go if you have a speeding ticket. It's not criminal filings. It's literally speeding tickets. And what somebody was doing in pockets of the Northwest is they were going through these, they were running it through a database, and then they were calling ICE to say, hey, this person is not a U.S. citizen, they're going to be in district court, so go arrest them, go send them home, send them home. They were looking for illegal citizens. And in eastern Washington State, it's farm country, and this was happening every day in all pockets of the state. So Pastor Paul got involved with this group, and one day he said, hey, why don't you come along? I need somebody to hold a video camera, right, in case we have an altercation. Now, we were not there to get involved. We were not there to stop arrests. We were not there to do any of that. We were there simply to witness and to make sure that if these arrests were going to take place, that people would be safe. So we drive up to this place, Moses Lake District Court. We check it out, and then we go. We're going to meet this woman who is an undocumented Colombian refugee, as it happened. And she was brought to the United States as a young girl, and we met her, and she was about 25. And as we met her, we saw this little baby in the car with her. We said, is that your baby? She said, yeah, I just had this baby 2 weeks ago. We're like, 2 weeks ago. Mama, how are you standing up? But baby was going to stay with grandma, and mom was going to come with us. We were going to give her a ride to the courthouse. So she got in the car. We drove to the courthouse, and she tells us the story. So 3 months earlier, she had been experiencing a lot of pain, and she had to go to the hospital. But her husband and her family was away. And so what do moms do when they're experiencing pain at about 6 months and they have to drive themselves to the hospital? They drive like a bat out of hell, right? So she drove to the hospital, and she got tailed by a cop. And when the cop got there, cop's doing his job, cop gave her a ticket right there in the emergency room. And so here she is in district court. We go in, the judge looks at the ticket, and we wait for a long time. The judge is looking at the ticket, and the judge, of course, says, "No way, no way. Mama, next time you're in pain, call ER, call 911, but I'm not going to fine you for this." And so, okay, good. We're on the right track. ICE hasn't been showing up. She's okay. Baby's okay. There's no ticket. Great, that saves her money. I said to Paul, "Hey, Paul, I'm going to go outside and just make sure I know what's what." And I walked back outside, and I'll never forget, I walked through the door, and I was wearing my collar, even though I wasn't a pastor. I just thought, "Oh, I'll wear my collar." I wasn't serving a congregation. I walk outside, and there are two Suburbans parked right in front, and there's an ICE officer looking right at me, having a cigarette against the Suburban door. And I'll never forget the look on his face. He kind of rolled his eyes, flicked it on the ground, got in his Suburban, called, and they drove off. And there was no arrest made that night or that day. I think there is power in the authority of this reality. You are dust, and to dust you shall return, which means that we can't do anything but have the gifts of mercy and forgiveness and God's loves on our lips. I was grateful that she didn't get arrested, but I actually didn't tell anybody about that. We drove her back to her car. ICE drove off. We drove her back to her car, got her back to a baby. We go inside McDonald's, Paul and I, and I told him what happened. And I think that's the kind of thing that can happen when we show up with these symbols, when we show up with crosses on our forehead, or if anybody else wants to wear a collar, I'll get you a collar. I don't recommend it. But when people say, "Pray for me," we say, "Yes, I'll pray for you." Because the gift of prayer is not something reserved for the holy, it's reserved for people who need it. A gift of life, a gift of forgiveness is not reserved for people who are pure. It's meant for the whole world because God loves dust. And for this truth, we not only say thanks be to God, but we mark ourselves with this truth and we go into the word, into the world, remembering this word on our lips. You are dust, and I love you. Thanks be to God. Amen.